Welcome to the Turbo Time Podcast. I'm your host, online editor Tim Lukak. Today we're joined by the two Mythbusters, Klaus Brunn and Reiner Kurz. This time around, we'll be investigating the different colors of hydrogen, the role hydrogen plays in the turbo machinery industry, alongside the implications of its use in gas turbines and compressors. Klaus is director of research and development at Elliott Group, and Reiner is manager of gas compression engineering at Solar Turbines. I'd like to welcome you both and thank you for coming on the show today to talk about hydrogen.
Thank you very much, Tim, for having us again, and looking forward to the discussion on hydrogen.
Yeah, same here. Thanks for inviting us, and certainly hydrogen is one of the hot topics of the day.
So if it's okay with you, Tim, why don't I talk just briefly about what hydrogen is and why we're even talking about different colors of hydrogen. So, I mean, obviously, hydrogen is a clear gas. It burns with an invisible flame effectively. It doesn't have any smell or flavor to it. And so it kind of makes really very little sense when we talk about blue, green, brown, black, purple, red, et cetera, type of hydrogen. Hydrogen is colorless, but it's basically a colloquialism. And what it really means is it refers to the source of the hydrogen. So when people are talking about green hydrogen, for example, that means it's green hydrogen comes from green energy, alternative energy sources such as solar, where then that electricity that's produced goes into an electrolyzer. And in the electrolysis process, we then produce hydrogen. And if that electricity is both curtailed and from green alternative sources, and we call that green hydrogen. Similarly, blue hydrogen, which is basically hydrogen that's produced from natural gas in something like a gasification or steam reforming process, and then the carbon is separated and sequestered and stored. And so we have, again, a hydrogen that theoretically is a carbon-free hydrogen. If you do not do the carbon sequestration or sequestration of that process, then you generally refer to that hydrogen as a gray hydrogen. Similarly, there's black and brown hydrogen, which is hydrogen that comes from coal, and that's a relatively dirty hydrogen, basically coal gasification. And you produce hydrogen by separating the CO2 out again. From a turbo machinery perspective, hydrogen is a wonderful fuel for a gas turbine. It can be compressed. You can transport it. It is the lightest of all gases, so it has a number of challenges with it. It's somewhat dangerous because it's highly explosive, has a wide flammability range. But let's say from a compression perspective, hydrogen is hydrogen. But it does matter a little bit when we refer to the different hydrogens because it usually implies the process as to where it comes from. And so when you're talking about, for example, blue hydrogen coming out of steam reforming, it comes up at a certain pressure, which means there is a certain compression requirement. So it matters from the operating conditions that the hydrogen comes from. And it also matters sometimes on the impurities that are in the hydrogen. Because, for example, if you have some CO2 or some nitrogen in your hydrogen, then that drastically changes the physical properties of the hydrogen, makes it easier, for example, to compress. So that's basically the background of the colors of hydrogen.
Following up on what Klaus just said, one of the key misunderstandings about hydrogen is not a primary energy source, meaning you have to make it. So all the applications that involve turbo machinery and hydrogen involve, yes, using it as a fuel, but also how to transport it and how to use it to store energy. That context is important to understand the usage of hydrogen, because unlike natural gas or oil or coal, it's not a primary source of energy.
The way hydrogen is made, how does it affect its use in turbo machinery applications?
Hydrogen is basically not a source of energy, right? Hydrogen is naturally not available in any meaningful quantities. And so hydrogen is produced from other stuff, such as electricity, such as natural gas, such as coal, to then use it as an energy carrier or for energy storage. And then you can, for example, use that hydrogen and run that into a gas turbine for combustion, and you can make power again, or you can use that as a, to drive some other mechanical device, or you can use hydrogen in a petrochemical process. Hydrogen is very valuable in refineries. To get that hydrogen to that usage point, you usually have to transport it. And that means you have to either transport it through a pipeline, or you have to compress it and put it in a barge or in, on a truck. And that's where the turbo machinery kind of comes in, because hydrogen needs to effectively be compressed. You need to compress it to several thousand PSI for storage, for example, or at least 1,000 PSI for pipeline transport. And in that sense, hydrogen is not really an easy gas to compress, because it's a very light gas. And light gases have the tendency to require a lot of power for compression. They also have the tendency to leak easily. And in this particular case, hydrogen is also somewhat of a safety hazard because of the wide flammability range and explosive explosiveness.
Gas turbines have been using hydrogen as a fuel for probably almost 90 years or so. In fact, actually, the early aircraft gas turbines were tested on with hydrogen as a fuel. Difficulty with hydrogen as a fuel for any type of combustion is that it burns very hot. So the criteria pollutants like NOx are actually the difficulty in hydrogen combustion. There are certain metallic materials that are affected by hydrogen. So there's something called hydrogen embrittlement. It's reasonably well understood, but that is one of the things that has to be checked when you expose existing equipment to hydrogen.
One needs to remember that when you produce hydrogen, there is energy losses associated with that. So electrolysis is not 100% efficient, so you lose energy. And then when you convert that hydrogen back into some other, either mechanical or electrical energy, then you're losing energy in the process. And so you have a round-trip efficiency that seems to sometimes be relatively low for hydrogen. Everybody's talking about green hydrogen. The reality is that well over 99% of the hydrogen that's currently being produced in the world is not green hydrogen, but it is actually gray hydrogen. Almost all the hydrogen that's being made in the world right now comes from natural gas.
And following up on that, I mean, there's a lot of discussion, okay, so once we have the hydrogen, how are we going to use it? And you will see a lot of publications, especially in Europe, that essentially talk about hydrogen usage in things like fertilizer production or steel production. But actually, the usage of hydrogen in power generation is not really all that emphasized. And there's a reason for that. Power generation business, where you at the end product, you want to have electricity. So if you make electricity from wind or from solar, you already have your end product. So then the question is, okay, why would you bring hydrogen as sort of the middleman into that? And the reason is that you want to have the storage capacity. In that sense, and Klaus mentioned round-trip efficiency, so in that sense, it competes with a lot of other methods of storing surplus electricity. And then the other part is, okay, if I burn hydrogen in a gas turbine, I avoid the CO2 production. If I want to make a power-generating gas turbine carbon neutral, I have really two options. One is I take the CO2 out of my fuel before I burn it, and making hydrogen is basically the way to do that. So I take, for example, natural gas, convert the natural gas in CO2 and hydrogen, and then I burn the hydrogen and I capture and sequester the CO2. The other way is, however, I burn natural gas as we've always done, and then I capture the CO2 out of the exhaust of the gas turbine and then sequester it somewhere. And there's a lot of discussion on which of the two methods is actually the most effective method if I want to build a power generation facility that is more or less carbon neutral.
Post-combustion carbon capture, so flue gas carbon capture, as Rainer mentioned, is commercially available technology and has been commercially available technology for at least 20 years, and probably longer than that, whereas pre-combustion carbon capture from natural gas is also available through steam reforming, but really hasn't been that explored that much. And as far as utilization of it in large power plants, is still kind of in its infancy. There is somewhat of a tendency right now to think that in the industry that post-combustion flue gas cleanup is probably the more effective way of removing carbon from a power plant that's using fossil fuel. The jury's still out on that, but both of those options are available. But what it does then imply is that you really want to make your hydrogen, if you go with the pre-combustion hydrogen production, then you would really want to make your hydrogen as close as possible to your usage point, so your power plant. Because natural gas is a lot easier to transport and you already have the infrastructure for it. And so why bother making hydrogen and trying to transport it when you can already transport natural gas?
Thanks for tuning in to part one of this two-part Turbo Time podcast series on hydrogen with Mythbusters Klaus Brunn and Rainer Kurz. Please join us next week, where we'll continue the discussion. I'm online editor Tim Lukak. Thanks for listening.